the rest of you are finishing up, we are recording this, the audio aspect of it, and for future use, I suppose. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started here. Father, we are thankful for this first night of our class. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to meet together and to study your word together. Father, we ask that you'll bless now during this time, bless the service to follow, and we'll thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. We do not have the books that you will be using yet. They wanted to wait until tonight and find out, get a bit of a more solid number as to how many students we have, because we do have the opportunity to print some of this stuff through our own ministry, some of Dr. Heil's stuff, but this one is not on that list. So this is the book that we'll be using, Teaching on Teaching by Dr. Heil, and we should have these to be able to give to you guys next week so that you can get underway with those, what is there, three or four summaries, three or four pages? So, how many chapters did we say there were?
15 chapters, 2 pages.
Yeah, there's 19 chapters, but you can choose 15 of them, amen? Only one time per subject. Okay. All right, well, I tell you what, I want to just share a little bit about my personal testimony with you first, and then we'll launch into our lesson for this evening. I am in my, believe it or not, I look so young. I'm in my 50th year of full-time ministry, and 48th year here at Landmark. The Lord brought my wife and I here back in the mid-70s, and I taught in our junior high and high school for 19 years, and then was the principal of that division of the school for 6 years. And then the pastor asked me to lay that blessing aside and go down to the college full-time. That would have been in the 99-2000 school year, so I've been there ever since. I guess that would be 22-23 years now that I've been involved in the college. Even before I relocated down there as a full-time professor, I did teach some classes down there even while I was at the high school, stuff on like Christian school administration and things of that nature. And my wife and I, like I said, if I didn't say it already, this coming November the 8th, we will celebrate 48 years of marital bliss. Amen. Now, I like to think, you know, I think about that. The Lord's blessed our home over the years with 6 children. We now have 17 grandchildren. I like to think that along the way, I might have learned just a thing or two about teaching. Amen. And so I hope to relate a lot of our subject matter in this course to the obvious things that we'll deal with, and also, of course, personal experiences and lessons that I've learned through the years. We think about this particular subject, Champion Christian Teachers. This course is somewhat of a detailed look at the qualities that make an outstanding Christian teacher. In order for one to become a successful teacher, there are certain traits, certain qualities, certain characteristics that must be incorporated into the life of the teacher. Things like discipline, authority, a quest for excellence, enthusiasm, godly wisdom, and all those sort of things help to establish the right priorities within the classroom, and not just a few of those things. And so I want to start out with the word champion. Go ahead and take, most of you, none of you are using laptops, are you? Just a couple of these young ladies back here, that's their world, not mine. But write the word champion vertically down the left side of your paper, and we will go through and I'll give you a connotation for each of those. But first of all, I want you to just think about the word champion itself, champion. To show you how long it's been since I've been started teaching this particular class, and we don't teach it very often, I have a class right now, we're on the modular program back at the college, except for the freshmen, and so I have a class right now, this module on Sunday school, and then I have another one with practice teaching with some of our education majors, and so this morning in that particular class, it's four young ladies and one young man, and I use this illustration. This is a, you know, you talk about the breakfast of champions, right? That's what they claim that Wheaties is. Now, ladies, that's Bill Elliott. Most of you don't have a clue who that is. His son is actually the champion, one of the champion NASCAR drivers now. But it gives you the illustration there, of course, of the breakfast of champions. You think about that word champion. Let's talk about that a little bit. I wish I had a board here to write on, but we don't, so we'll do best we can regardless. And I want some input from you folks on this. You know, using the visual there, Wheaties, the breakfast of champions, think about what it takes, no matter what the field might be it in sports, be it in business, be it in industry, be it in ministry, whatever it might be, and what does it take to be a champion? Think about a world-class athlete and what got them to the point they are now. Think about an Olympic champion and people like that that train literally for their entire lives for what might take place in 20 seconds, you know, that sort of thing. What are some of the characteristics would you suggest would be a part of being a champion? Yes? Ambition. Write these down as we go through these, okay? And I'll give you a few more as well. All right, what else we got? To be a champion. Yes, ma'am. Commitment. Okay, that's true. Commitment. Folks in ministry, we are to be committed. If you've been in ministry long enough, you probably will be committed to an institution somewhere, right? Okay, what else we got? Yes, sir. Hard work, that's the first one on my list here, a hard worker. Amen. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry? Okay. Yes, ma'am. A positive attitude, absolutely. You think about a sports athlete or an Olympic champion or someone like that, they're on a very regimented schedule. And even when it comes to their diet and things like that and so forth. How about determination? Determination. There are days in that process in becoming a champion Christian teacher, those young people that are in that practice teaching class, they're going to get their shot at, we have a class for our young men, our preacher boys, we call it homiletics or practice preaching, and guess what they do in that class? They practice preaching. So that's what my practice teaching students are going to do as well, starting this week. I only have them for 3 weeks, but I have them 2 hours per day, so it's like 30 class sessions for us all over. Part of that time, we bring them down here to the school, and they sit in for a couple of hours first thing in the morning. With one of the classes and spread out throughout the school. I've got four young ladies that are elementary majors, elementary school majors, and a young man who's secondary. And so they sit in a couple different classes a couple times a week and just observe what's going on. Observe, you know, what the teacher does and how the teacher goes about the various lessons. They even take notice of the classroom itself and the bulletin boards and all those sort of things. And so anyway, determination's part of it. How about, here's a big one, preparation. That's a big part of it all the time. There's another P word. How about practice? Practice. And I'll suggest one more. How about diligence? Diligence. That list could go on and on the more we thought about it. Each of those things and other things as well are necessary for whomever desires to become a champion, whether in a job out there in the work world, in the workplace, or in the ministry, whatever it might be. It's very important to recognize the role, the important role that the teacher, of course, has in the classroom. I think back to our children. All of our children are graduates of Landmark Christian School. Three of my children are graduates of Landmark Baptist College as well. I've got two daughters that are Christian school teachers and have been for many years. My youngest son is a youth pastor up in Dunellen at Riverland Baptist and so forth. But, you know, you think about through those years of their education and how thankful my wife and I are and have been for many years that when our children came to school here, we didn't have to worry about what was being taught. All the craziness out there in the world today, of course. But more importantly than that, we personally knew each of their teachers and knew that they were not just a Christian teacher, not just a teacher who happened to be a Christian, but a Christian teacher in their practice, in their words, and so forth. And along with that, of course, was the example that they set to our children every day and still continues to this day. The school is in its, what, 50th year this year, 51st year, whatever it is. It's been a lot of students come and go through this, through the system here. I want you to write this down. The teacher is the CEO of the classroom. The CEO. Now, my CEO is a little different than the one the world has, the chief executive officer, isn't that what they say? In this context, the teacher is the CEO, the chief example to others. The chief example to others. I think back over the years with our own children. We've got grandchildren in the school now, of course. Praise the Lord for that. There's been a lot of teachers here through the years. Some of them are no longer with us. When I think about one of the teachers that I worked with for so many years, Brother Hartwig. Some of you know of him. If you did not know him, you know of him perhaps. And Brother Hartwig, every year when we had open house and parent-teacher meeting and that sort of thing, we would introduce the staff. And I like to introduce Brother Hartwig because he graduated high school 2 years before I was born. So I remember at one time he was teaching a history class. We let Brother Hartwig teach history because he was there when it all happened. Amen. He taught a lot of our science classes as well. But my goodness, what an influence on our young people. We've all had teachers through the years and so forth. I did not have the privilege of attending a Christian school till I went to Bible college. There were no Christian schools where I grew up in those days. But I would think quite often about the impact that Brother Hartwig and others, of course, had on our students. And if a student had a spiritual burden or question or concern, guess who they normally went to? Brother Hartwig, boys and girls for that matter. He had such an impact on their lives during his ministry here. And so the Bible has a great deal to say about this important role. Let's consider some verses here. Write the references down. I'll just give you a little excerpt of them without taking the time to turn to all of them for our time's sake. Let's begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9. The basic thought there, and jot it down, is that we are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 9. We are laborers together with God. Here's another one from the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. It doesn't matter what the task might be. Certainly if it's in the Lord's work, it's very important. We are sometimes too quick to consider whether a job is secular or sacred. In the life of a Christian, everything we do is to be sacred. I used to quote that verse to boys back in the day before I paddled them. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Amen. That didn't go over real well back then either. How about Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1? Verse number one talks about the theme for the Christian school last year. That's that verse, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Also in that same chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the scripture talks about the people, the officers, you might say, of the church, the staff of the church. It says there in verse 11, speaking of the Lord, and he gave some pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers. Also in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 19, Ephesians 3, verse 19, the thought there is, be filled with all the fullness of God. Be filled with all the fullness of God. You remember the account in the scripture when Moses came down off the mount after being in God's presence for that period of time, came down with the Ten Commandments and so forth. Scripture talks about how that they had to put a veil over his face because his face just radiated amazingly the glory of God. Now, wearing a mask on face is a good thing for some people, I know, but for the most part, we don't have to do that. But, you know, when he came down from the mount, the people realized, of course, that he had been with the Lord. You read about some of the apostles in the New Testament, of course, where it talks about that they knew that they had been with Jesus. Every morning that we step into a classroom, it becomes pretty obvious pretty soon that we have been with Jesus. And if we haven't been with Jesus that day, that becomes kind of obvious sometimes as well, by the way. Hebrews chapter 6, and I'm giving you the entire passage there, but just a thought from each passage. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. Hebrews 6, verses 10 through 12. The basic idea there is be not slothful, laziness, that sort of thing. Be not slothful. There's a great verse there, that first verse that I mentioned there. I love this verse. God knows what's going on all the time, whether we do or not. Amen. God keeps up with things. Here's what it says in Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God keeps up with all that. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Also, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. A couple of phrases come from that passage there that apply to what we're talking about here. The first one is apt, A-P-T, apt to teach, apt to teach. Another one is instructing others, apt to teach and instructing others. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 1 through 5. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. There it says, servants teaching others. Servants teaching others. I think you kind of get the idea, get the gist of it. How about 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. There Paul is reminding Timothy how that the Lord, here's the wording, how the Lord saved us and called us with an holy calling. How the Lord saved us and called us with an holy calling. And teaching the Word of God is always an holy calling, amen? He saved us and called us with an holy calling. Two more, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. You may recognize that particular reference. It is required in stewards that a man be found, what's the next word?
Faithful.
Faithful, there you go. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Not all of us have talents to do what other people can do. Yes. Okay. We'll talk about it afterwards, okay? All right. So what was my thought there? Not all of us have talents that everybody, that other people have. We have folks here in our class that can get up and sing a special and be a blessing. And then there's some of us, like me and Austin here, we have a hard time even making the joyful noise. We got the noise part down, not so joyful necessarily, right? And I can't do that. I can't get up and preach like our pastors can preach. And I can't do this, that, and the other. But I tell you what I can do just as well as anybody else, and that's to be faithful. That's where it all starts, faithfulness. I love that verse right there. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. One more verse. This is from Genesis chapter 11. Anybody know what the context of Genesis chapter 11 is? The Tower of Babel. Remember that? How the Lord had to come down and straighten out some mess there. Here's the verse, chapter 11, Genesis 11 and verse 6. And this is not so much for the teacher. Actually, it is for the teacher to realize the people you deal with in class, especially in Sunday school, the kids off the bus and so forth. I've told our teachers before, you get a kid that comes on the bus for the first time and he's got no control at home. He lives in a neighborhood where he has bad influences upon him and not so much in the school that he attends. And that kid might as well be visiting Tokyo today as to come to your Sunday school class. That's how foreign the things of God are to that kid. But that's okay. We're going to keep him coming. I learned a long time ago as a bus captain, if I could get a kid to come two or three weeks in a row or by the third time, more often than not, they would trust Christ as their Savior. Praise the Lord. Here's what the verse says. Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. That's their students right there. Amen. Genesis 11:6. Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Goodness. All right. Now, you wrote the word champion on your paper there. I want to break that down letter by letter and give you a thought for each one of them. As we think of a champion Christian teacher, the word champion, first of all, the letter C stands for Christ-centered. Christ-centered. A champion Christian teacher gives evidence that Christ has become the Lord of their life. A champion Christian teacher has an appetite for the Word of God, for the things of God, and so forth. I do have this statement written down. I mentioned to you a little bit ago there, but let's back up and write it down. Here it is right under this point. There is a major difference between a Christian teacher. There is a major difference between a Christian teacher and a teacher who just happens to be a Christian. There is a major difference between a Christian teacher and a teacher who just happens to be a Christian. As far as their practice, the words they choose to use, the example that they set, and so forth. I got a ton of verses on each of these points, but I'm going to skip those over for now so we'll have time to do something else I want to do. We'll get back to that. The letter H in a champion stands for humbly obedient. Humbly obedient. That teacher gives evidence of honoring the Lord and being obedient to authority. Humbly obedient. The third letter is letter A. A champion Christian teacher is anxious for nothing. Anxious for nothing. That's a little phrase right out of the scripture there in Philippians chapter 4, if I recall correctly. there's a million things in the world that we can worry about. And my goodness, we got an election coming up pretty soon, and things may change, but the president's still going to be in his spot. And they may change, and things may change, and maybe not so much. But our confidence is not in the White House; it's in the Lord. Amen. And no matter what the world may bring our way, it's getting a little more difficult to, you know, when you go to the grocery store, when you go to any other store, and things are just getting more expensive by the minute, it seems like. And have a 50-inch TV in my living room. I watch a lot of religious programming. Like right now it's football, basketball's coming up, baseball, and so forth. My TV gave up the ghost the other night. Oh, my soul. I was actually, the TV was on. I was, whatever was on, I don't know, but I was preoccupied with something else. And suddenly I realized there was no more sound. And I looked up there, and it's all solid blue, a light blue. And it just kept saying, no signal, no signal, no signal. Well, we had DirecTV, so I looked over there at that box, and all those little blue lights are on. And so I just thought something went wrong with that thing, you know. So the next day, my wife called DirecTV, and that we have a TV in two of the bedrooms, and so those were working. And the lady said, if those are working, there's nothing wrong with the box there where your TV's messed up, or they wouldn't work either. So I finally unplugged that TV, moved it into the bedroom, hooked it up, solid blue, no signal, no signal. Amen. So what a blessing. Things like that happen. Washing machines break down, cars have trouble, and all sorts of things can take place. It's all part of life, whether you're saved or lost, right? Anxious for nothing. We don't need to be worried to death about what will happen today or tomorrow. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Letter M, Master Builder. Master Builder. I've been involved in a lot of the building projects here through the years. My first summer here, we cleared the property and built Camp Glory. My second year, we built the first gym. And praise the Lord, there were people there that had skills. You want to tear a building down, I'm your guy. I can do that. You want to build it back, you know, build it back. I can hand the material to the guy that knows what he's doing, amen? Master Builder. Remember, here's a statement I learned a long time ago in education, especially in Christian education. I don't remember where this came from. There's two statements here. First one is, remember, it's easier to build a child. Remember, it's easier to build a child than to repair an adult. It's easier to build a child than to repair an adult. Back in the mid-70s, up into the early 90s, I did 18 years of prison ministry. Traveled all over the state of Florida. when I became the principal of the high school, pastor told me, he said, I believe it's God's will for you to do that, and that's all I needed to do. The school was at a time then when we needed some structure put back in place to it. And so Mrs. Daniel was hired to be the elementary school principal. Some of you remember her. And I was put in place to be the high school principal. Actually, it was 7th through 12th grade. And the Lord really blessed. The Lord really blessed, of course, over those next few years. And I think back to that when all those years I was in the prison ministry. And dealing with adult men. Every time I went to one of those services, and toward the end of it, I was doing 12 services a month. I'll get back to what I was going to say first. Pastor said, I'm going to make you do two things that you're not going to want to do, but it's necessary that you do so. He said, I want you to give up your bus route. I'd had a bus route since I was a sophomore in high school, all through those years. And I want you to give up prison ministry. And I said, why? He said, because you have no idea yet the demands that will be on your time and the relentlessness of that. And, of course, he was right. As a school principal, you got something coming at you, you know, from 90 different directions every second of your life, it seems like. That's not the hardest job in the school, though. And I got a couple ladies here that can say amen to this. The hardest job in the school is being the school secretary, especially the one that answers the phone and deals with all that stuff. That's my opinion. But it's easier to build a child than to repair an adult. When I did those prison services, I always had three goals every time I walked into one of those places. And goal number one was to do our very best with the Lord's help to win men to Christ. And almost without fail, every time we had a service, a lot of times in those days we used Christian films. Sometimes we had Bible studies and preaching time and so forth. And so many times we saw men come to Christ. My second goal was to be an encouragement to the men who were already saved. Some of those guys were going to be there until they died. They were doing life sentences. And so, you know, you think it's hard to live for the Lord out here in the world. Imagine being in a place like that. And some of those guys were tremendous testimonies for the Lord. My third goal was to be respectful and what's the number one priority in a prison? Security, right? And so quite often I would be having a service one of the correctional officers would walk in and stop everything because they were doing their count and they had to determine who all was here and if they were getting everybody that was supposed to be where they were supposed to be. If not, then they shut the world down and started figuring things out in case somebody got away. And so I was in a service one night over here at Polk Correctional, not far from Polk City. And in all those years of prison ministry, I dealt with a ton of chaplains there in the prisons. The majority of them were social workers just collecting a paycheck. And some of them, it was no doubt to me whatsoever, but that they didn't know the Lord. They were just doing a job. Some of them were military chaplains that had retired from the military. I went to a prison over toward Daytona one evening for the first time, and they had a chaplain there. He was a former Navy chaplain, and we're getting set up for our service. And he said, "Would you like to have some singing?" They had a hymn book there. I said, "You know, you got to be careful what you let them do sometimes." But he said, "I can lead singing for you." And I said, "That'd be great, man. Let's do that." And he picked out two or three songs, and the guy sang just like they're in church somewhere. The guy led the whole time with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. Nobody thought anything about that except me, you know. Goodness. So when that time came for me to step away from that, that was a tough time. But I followed the godly wisdom of our pastor and went to work, of course, on building a school. I heard somebody say it this way one time. If you want to build the best school in town, you have two options. Number one, you can get a bulldozer and tear down all the other schools in town. You probably won't get to the last one before they come get you. Or you can build it. Amen? And so it's easier to build a child than repair an adult. Here's the other statement. The hand, you've heard this one before probably, the hand that holds the chalk. Most schools don't use chalks anymore. They use whiteboards and markers and so on. But anyway, you get the idea. The hand that holds the chalk molds the future. The hand that holds the chalk molds the future. Let's move on. Letter P in champion. P stands for patient. Patient. Takes a lot of patience when you work with people. Amen? And as a teacher, we should certainly be willing to wait on the Lord for His direction. I talk to our college students quite often about this sort of thing. You know, that just the idea of serving the Lord faithfully. Sometimes people make a big mystery out of the will of God for your life. That's really not that difficult, I don't think. It never was to me. It was explained to me as a young man, the will of God for your life is to do your very best for the Lord today and then get up and do it again tomorrow. And the Lord will take care of where He wants you to do that 10 years from now, 20 years from now, and however many years the Lord gives us. The letter I in the word champion stands for instant in prayer. Instant in prayer. I've come to the realization on numerous occasions, especially when you're dealing with difficult circumstances and difficult people and so on and so forth, the Lord spoke to my heart one day after an occasion like that. And I didn't hear an audible voice, but the Holy Spirit was speaking to me and said something to me like this. This school, this Christian school belongs to the Lord, not you. He cares about it a whole lot more than we ever could, even though we have given our life to those processes and those ministries and so forth. Instant in prayer. You realize that prayer activates the power of God in our lives. Our prayer life is so very, very important. And we have access to, and of course, to the throne room of God, the Holy and Almighty One. Letter O in the word champion, the word that comes to mind is opportunity. Opportunity. Think about every Sunday morning when you walk into that Sunday school class, or during the week if you're teaching in the Christian school, whatever it might be, you know, that we have an opportunity to impact people for eternity each and every week. Not only the ones that come for the first time and haven't yet trusted Christ as their Savior, but how about the ones that are there every Sunday? How about the church family kids and others that come along through the bus ministry or however they get here? Thank the Lord for them. Do not miss each and every opportunity to impact those young people for the cause of Christ. I can think back into my own life of people that invested in me as a child right on up the line, and I see the same thing, of course, with my kids and now my grandchildren and all of our other kids. The final letter is the letter N, and that represents this thought. A champion Christian teacher is noted for love, noted for love. Above all else, we can demonstrate that we are what God wants us to be in the classroom by our outward love for others, by our outward love for others. I think I've taught enough already to have our first test, so I'm just kidding. This is something I came up with, I forget, I've had it for many years, and this is talking about not a teacher necessarily, but a Christian. It's entitled A Champion Christian, and it takes the same outline I just gave you here, and this is just personal between you and the Lord. I'm going to give it to you, and you can take it home with you, and it's not rocket science, it's not that difficult, and it's not necessarily, you know, like you're taking a lie detector test before you go to prison or something like that. It's nothing like that. But it'll start out like this. The first one says Christ-centered, and it'll give you four choices. Let me read the back page. You have four choices. Number one, poor or failure. Number two, average, your response to the question. Number three, very good, or number four, excellent. And you go through all these letters, however many there are there. I guess there's nine of them, and then you add up your score, and if you answer more than one, then you just average that out together, and so that is your champion Christian test score. For example, it kind of runs the gamut here. Christ-centered, there's actually five choices, I'm sorry. The first one, for example, says, my main interests are enjoying myself, getting things I want, or making a success of myself. The basic thought here is Christ-centered. Christ's requirements interfere with my plans, so I resent them. I hope nobody's going to put that one down. Amen. Secondly, number one, I admire Christian ideals, but my great interests are not in the Christian life or work. Number three, I enjoy Christian work as long as I have the approval of others. Number three, I have consecrated my talents to Christ. I enjoy using them for Him. Good choice right there. Number four, my interests are in discovering God's will for me each day and in doing it as love service to Christ. I truly enjoy God's presence. So you're going to have that through each of these letters that we've given. Austin, you want to hand those out to everybody, please? And so I want you to just take that. You're not going to give that back to me. That's, again, it's just something to think about and something for you to just kind of do a little bit of a self-inventory, a self-checkup about how things are with you and the Lord. And I feel certain all of you will do very well. It's not about the score. It's about, you know, maybe there'll be something along the way that will draw you closer to the Lord and that sort of thing. So I want you to take that with you and come back. You don't have to bring it back to me, but just have some fun with it, but be serious about it as well. And see what the Lord has for you there. All right. What's the memory work for next week? I don't have that in front of me here. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Okay, so be mindful of that. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. We'll start with that right off the bat at the beginning of class. And then continue with our... We'll go back and pick up the verses. I've got a lot of verses for each of those points on champion that we'll share with you. And hopefully be a help and a blessing to you. All right.